Here's some raw data for you that give you some idea about where the problems were about why Hillary lost that election. Look at the turnout. Despite how many billions were spent on this campaign, how much attention there was, the turnout was 55%. That's the lowest since the year 2000. 2000, 56.6%. 4 years later on, when George W. Bush wins. The reason George Bush wins re-election is there is a huge turnout. When the lines were seen in 2004, many people again thought, well, this is all right, people are turning out in droves to vote for John Kerry. Not true. The Republican vote went up. 2008, when Barack Obama ran for the first time, you see there a high of 63.7%. That drops 4 years later quite substantially to 60%. Bottoming out in 2016 at 55%. So even though the stakes were so high, even though Donald Trump was on the ballot, the idea that there is a huge surge in voter turnout is simply not true. Neither is it true, as you can see, despite what Donald Trump would have you believe, that there was a massive spike for support for the Republican Party. Mitt Romney, seen as being a relatively uninspiring candidate in 2012, wins 47.2% of the popular vote. Donald Trump just notches that up by 2%, virtually identical in the big scheme of things. The Republican vote remains pretty consistent. Look what happens, though, with the Democratic figures. Barack Obama turns out 51.1% of the vote. It drops to 47.7% for Hillary. The big challenge here, and I'll return to this, is simply that there was no great turnout for the Democratic Party across the board. The third party candidates also played a huge role with regards to this. The United States is a binary system. At a national level, there is the Republican Party and there is the Democratic Party. And whenever you see a third party candidacy, all they do to one extent or another is split the vote on one side and ensure that the opposite side wins. For all the talk in 2000 about hanging chads and Florida, if you don't have a third party candidacy of Ralph Nader, who I'm surprised if any of you actually remember or know about, then you simply don't have George W. Bush's presidency at all. The number of votes that he took away from Al Gore on the left absolutely devastated Al Gore's candidacy. Now, the extent to which you can blame that upon the strength of the third-party candidacy or a potential weakness of the main-party candidacy on that side of the ballot is entirely up to you, but it's certainly a factor which needs to be considered. Again, let's look at a couple of figures here to try and break this down, again, just to try and give you some indication about where things fail to materialise for Hillary Clinton. The women's vote. Look at those figures and look how poorly Hillary Clinton does. Obama won 55% of the female vote in 2012. Hillary Clinton wins 54%. Donald Trump didn't do quite as well as Mitt Romney, but to all intents and purposes, those figures are not that bad when you consider how awfully Donald Trump was seen to have treated women and spoken about women during the campaign. Women simply did not come out in droves for Hillary or, conversely, abandoned Donald Trump on the right, despite everything and every expectation that they might well do so. The youth vote, again, look where it was. Barack Obama got 60% of the youth vote, that's your age group. Hillary Clinton only gets 55%. Whilst admittedly they don't come out in droves for Donald Trump, some 29% of young people, i.e. under 25, still come out to vote for Donald Trump. The Hispanic vote was perhaps the most interesting. In 2012, Barack Obama won 71% of the Hispanic vote. The expectation was, and the way the campaign was pitched, Hillary Clinton was clearly chasing the Hispanic vote, and it failed to materialize. Her share of the vote drops to 65%. Flip back 4 years, Romney gets 27%. Considering everything Donald Trump has said with regard to Mexicans and Hispanics in general, with regard to their general demeanor, building walls, etc., etc., one would have thought that figure would have gone down. Instead, it goes up. Who could have ever have forecast that that more Hispanics would have voted for Donald Trump than for Mitt Romney. It was quite remarkable. Even the black vote that Barack Obama obviously naturally attracted throughout his candidacy dropped some 5% for Hillary Clinton. African Americans still vote overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton, but the 88% versus the 93% certainly was catastrophic. Even the rural vote, never kind to the Democrats, it must be said, even that drops. Consider this for a second. An African American man is more popular in the rural community than a white woman raised in Illinois. That speaks volumes, I think, to the idea about why it is that Hillary Clinton fails to materialize as president in the aftermath of this. There's also a whole series of problems with regard to the organization. I mentioned the idea that no single candidate tries to pursue every single state. It was widely recognized that the Clinton campaign had what was referred to as the blue firewall. The idea that they were basically going to compete in and win and needed to win a series of key battleground states. And if they had held those and they believed until the very last moment that they would do, Hillary Clinton would have become president. They failed to do so. They failed to do so despite warnings from the person I refer to as the big dog, which is Bill Clinton. The idea that the campaign would overlook the input of Bill Clinton, perhaps one of the most skilled American politicians of his era, quite frankly, when he recognized from his going around the country that there were problems in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin. And instead basically said, don't worry about this, old timer, we've got this, we've got all the data coming in off the computer, we can fix this with our analytics. The idea that a new generation, led by Bobby Moot, the campaign manager, was treating politics as a science and not as an art, which is a distinction with Bill Clinton. The suggestion also of invincibility is a major problem. When you have a campaign like Hillary Clinton's, it's inevitable that there is going to be a huge team. But the problem is that Hillary Clinton's team ultimately was too large and too unable to make change. Not only was it unable to make change, but Hillary Clinton herself was ill-disposed to make change. She was someone who favoured loyalty, and that obviously is an admirable quality. But only in as much as it will help you win the presidency. Some of you might be aware of a young lady called Huma Abedin, often referred to by Hillary Clinton as one of the daughters she never had. She was a right-hand assistant for Hillary Clinton all the way through her time as Secretary of State and going back through her time in the Senate. Huma Abedin has a husband, some of you might be aware of, by the name of Anthony Weiner, who is currently serving time in an American penitentiary. He was also a former member of Congress. Weiner was causing great problems, and indeed the email scandal that hit the campaign in the last days of the campaign and helped sink it because of the FBI release was entirely because of emails between Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner that showed up on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Had Weiner basically thrown herself under the bus or been fired earlier in the campaign, it's entirely possible that that might well not have materialized. I would suggest to you, don't forget that when Donald Trump's campaign was in trouble, he fired his campaign team, Paul Manafort was pushed out, and in his place came the managing director of Breitbart News, Steve Bannon, who some of you might have heard of, who helped organize the final push to victory for Donald Trump. Change was needed, it didn't occur. The idea that you got hubris at the very, very top, a campaign that was too large and too unwieldy. What are thoughts about the ideology behind the campaign? Bill Clinton had won the presidency in 92 and 96 campaigning as a new Democrat. What does that mean? That means coming to the center ground of American politics and campaigning to win classic middle America, blue-collar working class votes, which are required if you want to win as a Democrat. Hillary Clinton simply did not campaign as her husband had. The perception was that she had been dragged leftward, in part by Bernie Sanders, but in part by trying to win a series of demographics which appeared to have very little to do with middle America. The perception was that she was too busy courting the LGBTQ community, too busy trying to court Hollywood celebrities, too busy hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce, too busy trying to court the Hispanic vote, and that she had left white mainstream working class values behind. The remarkable thing about this is if you go back and read Bill Clinton's speeches from 1992, they read a hell of a lot more like Donald Trump's speeches in 2016 than Hillary Clinton's speeches from that time period. She emerges, therefore, as the minority candidate in too many parts of America. Not everywhere, it must be said, but just in certain key demographic sections. There's also the idea of a return of Clinton fatigue. When Bill Clinton left the White House in 2001, there was a sense that, oh, we can now breathe again. The Clinton years had been tumultuous. There was always something going on. There was always some call for impeachment, some hearings. Hillary Clinton hadn't even been elected, don't forget. And there were hearings into her. The Benghazi scandal, questions about her email. She seemed to be spending more time on Capitol Hill testifying and trying to avoid questions or address questions than she was campaigning. Now, this clearly was a campaign technique and a deliberate philosophy by the Republican Party to tie up Hillary and make her look like she was guilty of something, even if it was only by appearance. And obviously, she's never been found guilty of anything, quite frankly, in many of these areas. However, it must be said that something that really didn't help was her collapsing at the World Trade Center site in the very last days of the campaign, when she was captured on camera collapsing and being forced into the back of her SUV by her Secret Service team. The perception of that allowed Donald Trump to basically talk about Hillary Clinton's frailty. Clearly into that is a whole series of sexist comment about the idea of, is a woman capable of being able to run and win the presidency? This was someone who, it must be said, had travelled over a million miles, visited over 100 countries as Secretary of State, and done so very, very adequately. But fundamentally, if I were to ask you what Donald Trump's slogan for victory was, what was it?
Make America great again.
Thank you very much. Whether one likes that slogan, whether one agrees with it, it's memorable. Hillary Clinton, arguably, was never able to discern her message into one easily definable bumper sticker to the extent that Donald Trump was with his campaign. Think about the impact of events. When once asked, the former British Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan, was asked what he feared most in politics, and his old boy Etonian response was, events, dear boy, events. That holds true now, and it holds true then. It holds true in this country and around the world. There was a sense that Barack Obama's second term agenda was not designed to help Hillary Clinton presidency. It was particularly progressive. It was not designed to be sensitive to a third term potential for a Democratic candidate. It was deliberately designed to move the ball down the field, and that's to be admired, I think. But certainly it gave Hillary Clinton headaches in places like Florida, with the Cuban exile vote in particular, which is obviously necessary for any Democrat if they want to win the presidency. Hillary Clinton lost Florida, surprisingly but importantly. Why? Part of the reason has to be looking at what Obama did with regards to opening up ties with Cuba, which was particularly unpopular in key sections of the Floridian vote. The conventions were held, made no discernible impact. The debates, which Hillary Clinton clearly won in every single poll, made no discernible impact in terms of how voters seemed to be inclined to go. What did make a difference? The FBI release from James Comey that he was investigating Hillary Clinton again, and the idea of its security with regard to emails. In the last 11 days of that campaign, I was over in New York at that point, and you could feel the atmosphere change discernibly. The idea of the air coming out of the campaign. And what you saw also was a shift in the polls. Before that release, Hillary Clinton was a good 8 points clear in the polls. Above and beyond the idea that there was a sense of a cushion. And what the release did was basically bring those figures down to a point where all of a sudden now Donald Trump was within touching distance. And the idea that now all the questions in the last couple of days were going to be all about Donald Trump's overall sense of progress and inevitability. And in the last couple of days, you saw this discernible return back to the GOP fold by disaffected Republicans. There was a stay-at-home problem with regard to voters, but instead of Republicans staying at home because they disliked Donald Trump, what you saw was the Democratic Party staying at home because they just simply didn't come out to vote for Hillary Clinton. Have a look at these figures. Hillary Clinton lost because she lost these key states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Look at the spread here. A change of 0.56% in those three states gives Hillary Clinton the presidency. This is not a landslide victory for Donald Trump, no matter what he said. Democrats simply didn't turn out for Hillary in the right places. If you shift those 3 million votes by a slightest amount, Hillary wins. Just look at the figures. 136 million votes were cast. Trump wins Michigan by just under 10,500. The third party candidates alone get over 200,000 in that state. In Pennsylvania, 44,200. Stein wins just under 50,000. Johnson just under 150,000. Wisconsin the same. Any slight shift in these figures towards Hillary Clinton wins.
James, your closing remarks, please.
So what I was trying to convey in that conversation was very much the idea that what we're not looking at in any assessment of 2016 is a Trump triumph necessarily, but more a collapse effectively in the Democratic vote and the tiniest margin of error, any change of which in one of three key states would have propelled Hillary Clinton to the presidency. Ultimately, this was a decision that turned upon the outcome of approximately 77,000 individuals across the nation, composed of over 300 million individuals. There simply was no Trump landslide. There simply is no truth in the idea of Trump gaining the overwhelming majority of the American electorate. Quite the opposite. This was an election which very much turned upon the tiniest of outcomes, the change in any one of which would have seen a different result, in my opinion.
That's it for this second edition of the American Chronicle, a 12th Peer Productions program 2017, with music by Chris Warner.